Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 4. This is God's word. "After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.' At once I was in the Spirit. And there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne there were 24 other thrones. Seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the sevenfold Spirit of God. Also before the throne was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stop saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, 'You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being.'" May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Folks, I'm tempted to just go on and read chapter 5 because it's a continuation. We're just going to go right on. We're going to focus in chapter 4 today, but listen to chapter 5. "Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals.' Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the sevenfold Spirit of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. and they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You've made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. You want to know what heaven's like? This is a little glimpse. This doesn't tell us everything about it. There will be more that will come forth, but there was a door that was open in heaven. John is invited to come and have a look, and what he sees is overwhelming. The first thing that he sees is a throne and someone sitting on it. Now, whose throne is that? Because he's going to see a bunch of other thrones too. But he sees a throne and someone sitting on it, and the one who is sitting on it is the one who all the others on all the other thrones are worshiping. He's the one who lives forever and ever, and he's the creator of all things. The message, folks, is that God is on the throne. The creator of the universe, who made everything that exists, is not running for office. He's not hoping that he can get enough support. He's on the throne. That's what John sees. He sees a throne and someone sitting on it.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
The title of the message today is taken from the earlier phrase in verse 1. Come up here and I'll show you what must take place after this. I'm going to show you what must take place. This is not a portrayal of what might happen or what is likely to happen. God's word is telling us that the future has already been written. What he's about to see is a glimpse of what God has already decreed. God has said, this is the way it's going to be. And so then when he goes to look, and I mean, there's going to be a whole lot, the rest of the book of Revelation is what he's going to see. All right? Because all these things must take place. But when he goes to look, the first thing that he sees is not the creatures with eyes all over them. He'll see them in a minute. But the first thing he sees is a throne. It is the place of authority. That's the first thing he sees, a throne. And one seated on it. Please understand that. That's the point. It's not an empty throne. Wonderful organization years ago had some great little brochures trying to help people share their faith. One was Four Spiritual Laws. Then the second one was Have You Heard of the Wonderful Spirit-Filled Life? I memorized both those brochures. I've used those brochures. They can be very handy outlines for sharing your faith with people. In those brochures, there's this wonderful little diagram, and it shows kind of the throne of your heart and encourages you, even after you get saved, you may be living a carnal life. So what you need to do in order to experience the Spirit-filled life is to have Jesus on the throne of your heart, okay? And it's a little circle with a little thing that looks like a chair. And if you're on there, then Jesus is kind of out on the periphery and your life will not go well. You won't get the job you want or whatever. But if you put Jesus on the throne, everything falls into place. It's great. Sun shines. Well, that's not the point. The point is Jesus should be on the throne of your heart. Well, let me just tell you what we need to understand about this. That has a certain helpfulness in certain situations for certain people. But the problem that I have with that, and I'm telling you, it's a good brochure, can be used effectively, but the problem I have with it is it, for many people, seems to have fostered a mindset that, you know, we're pretty much in control of the throne, okay? Poor God would love to have a seat, you know, but, I'm just going to have to stand over here and wait on you guys. And it, some people think that their heart is the center of the universe. See? Because they think they're the center of the universe and their heart is the center of them. So, you know. And poor God, you know, he wants to fix things. He'd like to do a better job running the planet. But people just, doggone it, are not cooperating. And as a result, God is just, he's doing the best he can. Just, you know, that's really the mindset of a lot of people. The reason we're in this situation is because God's doing the best he can. Now, there's a little kernel of truth to that. The reason we're in the mess we're in is because we have not yielded our lives to him. God says, don't eat the fruit of that tree. In the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die. We eat, we become spiritually dead. Sin and death are passed to future generations. And it's not like God saying, But it is that the suffering we're experiencing is a consequence of our choice. That is true. But if you think that the consequence of our choice includes making God impotent instead of omnipotent, you have really misunderstood what's going on. When Adam and Eve sinned, what God said would happen is exactly what happened. God didn't lose his power. He demonstrated not only his power and his glory, but the truthfulness of his word. And the consequence of our sin was spiritual death, exactly as God said. But God didn't stop there. God revealed the most glorious drama of redemption, where instead of simply leaving us in our dead condition, God made provision for our salvation. That is the gospel. God chose to save us. He could have just destroyed us. He didn't owe us anything. It wasn't like God said, oh, well, they're so cute. Okay? No. We deserve destruction, and God, instead of giving us what we deserve, displayed his grace, his glorious grace. And God, over time, revealed what was his plan before the foundation of the world. And that was that God would become a man and take our place at the cross and bear his holy wrath so that we could be reconciled to him. Folks, if that doesn't get your pulse going, you really are dead. God chose to save us. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He's on the throne. This is the one who's on the throne. The God who created all things. Why is he in control? Because he's God, that's why. Everything else there, all these amazing creatures, everything else there was created by him. All of it. God is not the premier creation. He is the creator. And everything in creation owes its existence to him. Look at the last phrase of this glorious statement from the elders. Verse 11. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. Is that clear? God created all things, but it doesn't stop there. It says, and by your will they were created. In other words, you did it on purpose. How many of you feel like at times you've created something you didn't intend to? Have you ever been in that situation? Like a mess, maybe? Okay? And it's like, oh, I did that. Okay? I've done that before. I mean, creation is not exactly the best word for it, but I've certainly made some messes. I've taken what I was given and turned them into something awful. I'm capable, okay? But God created everything out of nothing, and he did it on purpose, okay? And by your will, they were created. Not stopping there. Look at the next phrase. And have their being. The only reason stuff continues to exist is because God wants it that way. Amen. That's the only reason. It's not only that he did it by his own will, that's why we have our being. What is your reason for being? Well, I was created to win medals in the Olympics. Okay, that's nice, but that's just this much. Sometimes we think that this or this or this is our reason for being. No, your reason for being is because God wants you here. That's good to know, actually. Because you don't have to invent yourself. God already made you. And God has a purpose for your life. You may not know what it is, but he does. It is because of him that we have our being. That is good to know. That is good to know. So go back and look at a few of the details with me. First of all, in verse 1, he says, come up here and I'll show you what must take place after this. Some folks regard the come up here as an allusion to the rapture. I think that's a stretch. Okay? That may turn out to be right, but it was John who was being spoken to, and John was the one who was told, come up here, and I'll show you that. I'm not saying I don't believe in the rapture. I'm saying I don't think that's what's being talked about in verse 1 of chapter 4. All right? I think what's being talked about in verse 1 of chapter 4 is John, the revelator, being brought up to a new level where he will be able to see what he has never seen before, which is what's about to take place, what must take place after this. And then he says, and once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. How many of you have some jasper and carnelian in your living room? Okay. Let me give you just a brief summary of what's being talked about here. There's a bunch of stone. For instance, look at a rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. I've never seen a multicolored emerald. Okay, I know emeralds can be more than one color, but it's usually not at the same time. What's being described here is basically indescribable. Okay? It is an effort to put into words. It looked like you ever seen anything like this? No. He hadn't either. But he's describing something that is brilliant and filled with light. It's what the earthly temple was modeled after. This is not described this way in order to create images of the earthly temple in people's minds. The earthly temple was given to us as a template to prepare worshipers for what we're going to encounter when we get through that open door. Okay? And what he sees is brilliant light, a rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. So it's kind of like light and kind of like stone. You know, it's hard, but it's clear. And it's light. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. And what do these guys on the 24 thrones keep doing? They keep getting off their thrones. And they're wearing crowns, but what do they keep doing with their crowns? They keep taking their crowns off and saying, here, you're the one who's worthy. Because let me tell you something. The greatest, most powerful forces in all of creation in the presence of a holy God say, you're the one who's worthy. We are not worthy. You're the one who belongs on the throne, not us. And they take their crowns off, all the honors, everything they've been given, everything that says you are great. And they say, no. You, oh God. You are great. That should be the cry of our heart. That should be the basis of our lives. That should be what shapes our decisions, our schedules, our budgets. It's all about giving glory to Him. And so over and over and over, they don't do it once. They do it over and over and over. And I'll tell you, they never stop, because look at verse 8. Day and night they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Day and night they never stop. And whenever, verse 9, the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things. And by your will they were created and have their being. Folks, that's what heaven is all about. I tell this story over and over because it's one of the most beautiful and moving things that's ever happened to me in my life. And in its own way, it was a little foreshadowing of heaven. When our three children came to America from Ukraine, their first night, they traveled a long way, and they got to the house, and Peter and Elizabeth were shown various gifts and toys that were on their beds in their rooms, and they were excited. But Stephen had to use the restroom, so he didn't get to go look at his. And so he went in the restroom, and they're looking at their stuff that they've just gotten, and they're amazed, and they're thrilled, they're excited. And when Stephen came out of the restroom, they said, look, Stephen, this is mine. And look, this is mine. And look, this is mine. And Stephen grabbed, put his arms around me. He said, this is mine. That's heaven. When we get there, we're not going to be walking down the street saying, look, gold, gold everywhere. It's gold. That's not what heaven's about. We're not going to be saying, wow, have you ever seen such a big pearl? We're going to be saying, worthy, worthy, holy, holy. We'll be worshiping our Creator and our Redeemer. That's what heaven's about. It's about Him. And we're going to be with Him. And it's going to be great. And it's going to be forever. I'm looking forward to that.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.